Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Well, good morning, everyone. Wonderful to see you all and welcome this morning. Great to have you with us. If you were not here last night, we had such an awesome time last night in the presence of God. And, I really would encourage you to go and listen to last night if you were not here, because it's really a message that God gave me for now because of all the stuff going on around us. I believe the Lord really wants to encourage us. How many of you believe God wants to encourage you? Amen. He's a good God. He's a good God. Next week is our Feast of Tabernacles. The reason why we celebrate the feasts is because they are God's appointed times. That doesn't mean we celebrate them necessarily in a traditional form, but we know that God has appointed certain times, like we celebrate the 4th of July. We celebrate God's timeline as well. We celebrate Pentecost, Tabernacles, and we also celebrate Passover. So it is the Feast of Tabernacles. Saturday night and Sunday morning will be around the theme of Tabernacles, although I am going to be starting a series this morning on who is the Holy Spirit, and we'll continue in that next weekend, but it'll tie into Tabernacles as well. So I encourage you to come out and join us for that again next weekend. The subject that we're going to be talking about this morning is who is the Holy Spirit. And I really feel like, you know, this is an important subject. This happens to be, without a doubt, one of the most powerful subjects that have impacted my life personally. So I love talking about the Holy Spirit because I know what He did in my life and how He changed my life. And we're going to get into that this morning. We're going to look at, you know, just who He is. There are many questions that people have as Christians, you know, when it comes to the subject of the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? Where do we first see Him in Scripture? What is the Holy Spirit like? What does He do? What is His role in our lives? Can we worship the Holy Spirit? That's a subject that many people get very uncomfortable with because we're supposed to worship God. Well, who is the Holy Spirit? Okay, you said it, not me. So these are things that people, you know, need to have a look at. And many times I think because of the way we've been taught, or, you know, there's certain traditions and things that we see, and those traditions and things, you know, become part of us, and it's very difficult for us to really sometimes see what does the Bible actually say. And how many of you know that what the Bible actually says, that's what we should practice, because His word is His final authority on the earth. So it's very important for us. You know, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, many people want to experience the presence of God, you know, the Spirit of God, the presence and the power of God. And when we talk about the Holy Spirit, those are two things that without any doubt are part of His attributes. The thing is that they miss out so much on the rest of Him. And then you also get a group of people that are completely the opposite. When it comes to the Holy Spirit, just the fact that it's Spirit at the end is uncomfortable. It's not a place they want to visit because they don't understand it. And so because they don't understand it, they'd rather just not touch it. And so that's also an imbalance when it comes to the Holy Spirit. God wants you to know the Holy Spirit. And I can only talk from my own personal experience. There was a moment in my walk with God where things really changed when it came to this subject of the person of the Holy Spirit. I remember when I came to the United States and was in Stuart and went to a church there. I was working and helping a church in Stuart, and there was a young Spanish couple that we became very close to, Naomi and I. Their names were Dick and Joanna, and I remember I would preach on Wednesday nights in what we would call our refreshed services, and they were more Holy Spirit type services, and I would minister the power of the Holy Spirit to people and, you know, see God touch lives and everything. And this Spanish guy, his name, as I said, was Dick, and I remember him one day coming to me and saying, you know, he said, Alex, He said, with the Holy Spirit, with you, it's always power, power, power. He said, but with me, the Holy Spirit is relationship, relationship, relationship. And I remember looking at him thinking, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, the Holy Spirit is the manifest power of God on the earth. And yes, he is, but there's so much more to him. So I kind of thought, listen, you know, I'm really glad that it's just like that for you. I have a great relationship with God. I have a great relationship with Jesus, and I understand that. And the Holy Spirit is his power and presence on the earth. And so that's how I understood him. But as time began to go on, I began to watch this guy and his relationship with the part of God that is the Holy Spirit, and began to be intrigued at this relationship that he had. Because I could see a level of intimacy that he was able to experience that I quite didn't understand. You know, I'd had great encounters with the Lord. The Lord had done amazing things in my life to me personally, never mind ministering and stuff like that. Great encounters with the Lord, but never really understood that there was an aspect to God that I was missing out on. And so I ended up going to Colombia, to Bogota, Colombia, to a church called Avivamiento. And it was a powerful, powerful church. And, you know, I'll come down so I can get a little bit more intimate with you. And I remember going to this church and thinking to myself, you know, I've never seen anything like this. It's a massive place with thousands of people that are so hungry for God. And I wanted to understand what it is that was different about this place, because it wasn't like anything I'd experienced before. I'd been to very good churches. I got saved in an amazing church. My pastor taught me incredible things. But this place, there was just something. There was something, the atmosphere, when you walked in the building, it was like nothing I'd ever experienced before. And so as I began to watch, you know, and just see what was going on, I was intrigued and wanted to know what it was that was different. You would walk into the staff offices, and the staff offices were different. You would walk into the media room, and when you walked into the media room, they'd be working on the videos. You'd watch the videos, and the presence of God would just affect you in an incredible way. And I was like, what is this? I don't understand what this is. And I began to cry while I was just standing there thinking, these people must think I'm crazy. You know, just watching a video and I'm busy weeping, you know. But it was unbelievable how it impacted me so much. And as I began to learn more about that ministry, I realized that what it was the pastor of the ministry had a very intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. And so I remember watching Dick when we were back in the United States. And one day he went and played basketball. And you may think this is extreme, and that's okay, because I also thought so. He came back from playing basketball all sweaty and everything and the ball under his arm. And I said to him, what have you been doing? He said, kind of a silly question, I suppose. He said, I've been playing basketball. I said, oh, that's great. He said, John, I wasn't alone. I played with the Holy Spirit. And I thought, okay, now it's official. He's lost his mind. And I was like ready to leave. And he said, and you know what? He beat me today. And I was like, what are you talking about? You know, and I remember, you know, just seeing this and realizing that there's something that I don't understand. Whether he's extreme or not, that's not the point. The point is he had this intimate relationship with God and the Holy Spirit being part of God that I didn't have, and I wanted it. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But you see, many times we get confused and almost feel in a way that we can't get close to the Holy Spirit, because isn't it going to be wrong? You know, who am I supposed to pray to? Well, we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. But you must realize that the Holy Spirit is here. And we're going to dive into that this morning. All I want to do today at the beginning of this series is introduce you to who Jesus said the Holy Spirit would be. I think that might be important. I think we need to know, what did Jesus tell us? You see, there are many things we'll learn about him over the next few weeks. Things that he'll do to you, things that he'll do through you, things that he wants to do on the earth. But today, I want you to know why he came and who he is for you. Is that okay? So let's dive a little deeper, but I want to start by just showing you that he's been around from the beginning. The Holy Spirit has been with us from the start. In fact, if we go to Genesis 1, verse number 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." So we see the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, present right at the beginning in creation. We know that he was there and that he was a part of it right from the very, very start. I want you to understand something, that the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. And God is a triune God. In other words, God is the Father. God is God the Father. And then we have Jesus, who is the Son. And then we have the Holy Spirit. Each one of them is the same, and their attributes are the same, but they are different personalities or persons. Is that okay? But they are the same. And I want to tell you something right off the bat. You need to know one thing about God, is within himself, there is no jealousy. The devil doesn't want you to understand this. Because I feel it in the spirit, even in the first service, people don't understand it. How can God be jealous of himself? Are you with me? They are the same. They are the same person with three different expressions. And it's so important that you understand this. It's very important that you grasp this. When we look at the Old Testament, we can see from Scripture that the personality, the part of the Godhead that's on the earth functioning, the majority of the time is God himself. And we see that because the Bible tells us that God was as a pillar of fire and a cloud of smoke. Are you with me? And it was him that was on the earth. And we see when they address him. They're addressing God constantly. The writing is about God. Now we can see Jesus in everything. Jesus we see in everything, but the conversation and the writing and everything going on is addressing God himself. When Jesus comes on the earth in the New Testament, in the Gospels, the writing is primarily focused around Jesus himself. But it's very important that you understand that Jesus comes and reveals a part of God that we didn't know. The part of God that we didn't know was that he's a father. Jesus came to reveal to us that God is a father. And he reveals this part of God to us in the most amazing way, which shows us an aspect of the intimacy that we can actually have with God as our father. Now, me personally, I love this. You know, maybe it's because I have a great relationship with my own father. I relate well to him. He's sitting over there. And, you know, and so it's like I relate to that, so it's easy for me to converse with, you know, to have conversation with God as a father. Don't encourage me. Okay, and then you see. So you see Jesus do this, but the Holy Spirit, when he comes on the scene, he does something amazing as well, because he's the one who will reveal Jesus to you. Without the Holy Spirit, you will never understand Jesus completely. Without Jesus, you will never understand the Father completely. The three are the same, and you see a different expression and begin to understand more and more of who God really is through the Son, and you understand who the Son is and the Father is more when you begin to understand and have relationship with the Spirit. You need to have the fullness of him. In the very beginning, the Bible tells us about the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit. It's an aspect, a part of God that you and I need to understand a little bit more in order for us to walk out the fullness of what God has for us. It's very interesting because you'll note that when Jesus came on the scene, he was rejected. He was rejected, misunderstood, and the religious people couldn't understand him. They didn't understand him, and listen to me, they didn't recognize him. I want you to understand that the New Testament church has the same problem. We don't always accept the Holy Spirit. We reject the Holy Spirit. And because it's a little different, we have a tendency to just not be comfortable with him. Understand that that is a part of the strategy of the enemy, because God intended for you and I to walk hand in hand with his Spirit. It's so important. So let's see what Scripture says. Let's see what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit. Let's go to John 14, 16. Now understand something, that in the context of this next few chapters that we're going to be looking at, we'll be going between 14, 15, and 16 of John, of the book of John. We'll see it several times. We'll go back and forth. And we will see that the whole conversation is all around the fact that Jesus is with his disciples and he's going to be leaving them. And so he wants to encourage them and talk to them about this Holy Spirit that's going to be coming. And so he wants to show them just how important he is and that they're not going to be left alone. Really important. So John 14, 16 says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." Now there's a lot in this verse, and we're going to come back to it later on, but I want to focus on one word. And the word there that we're going to look at is the word another. He says, I will pray the Father. Jesus is saying, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. The word another there in the Greek is the word allos, allos. And it really can mean one of two different things. It can either mean that he is the same, or it can mean that he is different. That's what it can mean, one of the two. But in the context over here, there is no question that he's saying that I will send you another one. Another one will come and he will be the same as me. Jesus was trying to let them know that, listen, don't worry, because I'm going to send someone else that is the same as me. The same kind, the same type, the same person. He's just like me. He's going to come and he's going to be with you. That's what he's going to do. He says, I will pray the Father and give you another helper. Because you must understand, he was their helper. He was the one who taught them. He's the one who revealed things to them. He was the one that they could confide in. He's the one who shared with them. He's the one that was ministered with them, stayed with them in the nights when they would camp out and go all over the place. He was with them always. And he wanted to let them know, listen, don't worry, because I'm going to send you another one that's just like me. So the first thing we must grasp is that the Holy Spirit is just like Jesus to you and I. Can you imagine being one of the disciples and all of a sudden you realize that he's not going to be with you anymore? That would be difficult. It would be difficult to stay focused, to stay on track, because you're going to feel like you're alone. And Jesus wanted to make sure that they understood that they would not be alone, that he would send another one just like him that would be there for them. That's what he wanted them to understand. Isn't that powerful? He says this. He said, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he will dwell with you and will be in you. And this is again loaded. In verse 17, he opens by saying the Spirit of truth. And I love this because it just ties into where he says another helper. In other words, another one just like me, because he opens up by saying he'll be the Spirit of truth. You see, the Bible tells us in the Old Testament that God is not a man that he should lie. In other words, God will always tell you the truth. The Bible tells us in the New Testament that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. In other words, if you want to find truth, you go to Jesus. And Jesus wanted them to know that this helper that will be just like me, he is the Spirit of truth. And he will lead you into truth. He will reveal things to you. And he'll be the same as me. There is no God, there is no Christ, and there is no Spirit that will ever contradict God's word. It will always line up, and there will be no contradiction between the three. When people tell me that the God of the Old Testament is different to the God of the New Testament, I'm really worried about you. Because there is no difference. The only thing is, he hasn't been revealed to you yet. That's why it's important that you know the Godhead, all three parts. Because you'll never understand God the Father without the Son. You'll never understand the Son without the Spirit. You need the Spirit to lead you, to guide you, to teach you, to show you things. That's the only way you'll ever understand Jesus. Are you guys with me? I know it's almost lunchtime and everybody's hungry. Amen. But I'm going to give you some stuff this morning. Some meat this morning. Is that okay? All right. So we understand that he is the Spirit of truth, just like Jesus, who is the truth. And then he goes on in the same verse and he says, the Spirit of truth whom the Word cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you. And then he tells them that he will be in you. Now we know that this promise has been fulfilled because he's talking to them pre-resurrection. In the resurrection, we know that once the Holy Spirit came, we know that the Holy Spirit came upon them, around them, but he also came inside them. Are you with me? So you, when you get saved, how many of you in this place believe that the Spirit of God comes and lives on the inside of you? Amen. If you haven't lifted your hand, we need to pray for you. Amen. When you get saved, he gives you a new spirit, and his Spirit comes and lives in you. That's what happens. Now the Holy Spirit dwells with you and will be in you. Let's stop there for a moment, because we read over it like it's just like, let's carry on going. Stop. The Holy Spirit, who is God, when you get saved, lives on the inside of you. Now listen, we could get excited and talk about his power and his presence and all that stuff, but let's talk about what it must be like to live on the inside of you. It is funny, isn't it? God, the creator of the universe, has put his Spirit on the inside of you. And you'll understand why in just a moment. But can you imagine? He sees what you see. You think, is he watching me? When in actual fact, he's right inside you. Not only does he see what you see, but he knows what you think. The fact is, he even knows what you're gonna think before you think it. He knows you so well that he knows the part of you that you haven't even been able to understand yet. He knows the part of you that God knew before you were even formed in your mother's womb. He knows everything about your tomorrow. He knows everything about your now. And we don't even want to know him. Because it's theologically challenging to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. No, it's not theologically challenging. That's the enemy coming against you, wanting to stop you from taking a hold of God that is here right now. Listen, let me ask you a question. If you had the opportunity and Jesus walked into the room right now, he came through that back door and came towards the front here, who in this room would not want to get as close to him as possible? Every one of us would desperately want to have his audience, to have his attention, to have a conversation with him, to speak to him, to dwell with him, to just a moment with you, Lord. Well, do you know that the Holy Spirit dwells in you? He actually is living on the inside of you. So he knows everything. You see, he stays with you. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. But that doesn't mean that he's comfortable there. That's why the Bible warns us about grieving the Holy Spirit. You see, sometimes something will happen to you, and all of a sudden, when you're a believer, you'll just get this, like, this thing in you that just, like, you mustn't do this. It's almost like sometimes even less than a thought. But somehow you just know that this is not the right way for you to go. This is not the right thing for you to say. Or you're about to say something and you just have this little urge in the back of your mind or soul or whatever you want to call it. And it's just kind of like saying to you, don't do it. Don't say it. Don't speak to her that way. Don't do that kind of thing. Don't look at that. Don't say that. Don't do this. You see, that is when you're grieving him. And he lets you know that he's uncomfortable. Remember, in your head, there are three voices that you will hear. Some of you have about 24 voices, but the majority of us have about three voices. Listen, I've seen all 24, okay? Some of you, amen, all right. You will have your voice. You will have the enemy attacking you. And you will have his voice. And we need to learn to discern what he's saying, what he wants to do. Now, I've kind of like preached half my sermon without the notes, but let's get into the word and have a look at what Jesus says. So not only will he dwell with you, but he'll be in you. He says in verse 18, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Now remember, he's telling them about what will happen. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you will live also. And I love this. He says in verse 20, at that day you will know that I am in the Father and you in me. And I in you. Oh. Now you can try and theologically break that down. And was it at the resurrection? Is it the coming at the end? The fact of the matter is you have a choice right now. You can know. You can know what they didn't know yet because Jesus had not risen yet. And what they didn't know is what it says in that last verse. Please put it up for me. He says, at that day, you will know that I am in my Father and you are in me and I in you. So you must understand that the part that's in you is him himself living on the inside of you. Yes, it's the Holy Spirit. Yes, he's the part that's here, but it's all the same thing. It's all the same God. There is only one in different expressions, but he's saying to them, listen, I might not be here in the flesh with you, but you must know that I will be in you. Can you say amen? That's so powerful. And I'll show you just how powerful that is when we talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. But just to know that God is with you, he will not leave you as orphans. In other words, he'll keep you company the whole time. The disciples must have been thought, who am I going to talk to? Who's going to listen to me complain? Who's going to walk with me? He's going to show me things. And Jesus wanted them to know, don't worry about it. I'm still going to be with you. Amen. Let's go to John 14, 16. Before we look at the word that Jesus described the Holy Spirit with, I want to show you one thing. And that is, it says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The word abide there in the Greek means he will remain. He will stay. He will wait. He will live with. That's what the Holy Spirit will do. So he comes in you, but he will stay with you the whole time. When you go to bed at night, when you wake up in the morning, while you're dreaming at night, he is with you. He will stay with you. Now, what's really important is we must take a look and see what that word helper means. Because Jesus says, let's go to John 14, 26. And just look at it again. Every one of the scriptures I'll read to you now, about four scriptures, every one of them, Jesus describes the Holy Spirit as helper. In John 14, 26, it says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. This is what he says. The Holy Spirit will come. He's the Spirit of truth. He will testify of me. He is the helper. He will show you all things. But what does that word helper mean? The word helper in the Greek is the word parakletos. My dad's sitting there. I tell you, when I speak Greek, I can see him cringing. Because he's Greek, and his Greek is like really good. And my Greek is not really good. So, you know, and now I remember my grandmother, you must learn to speak Greek. And she was right. But thank the Lord, I still have my dad who can help me out. So, anyway, the word helper is the word parakletos, which means so many things. See, this is what I love, is that the word that they used to describe the word that Jesus used for Holy Spirit was this word parakletos. Now, in some translations, you will find that the word helper isn't even there, because the word that he'll use is the word comforter. You see, parakletos does not only mean helper, it means comforter. So when you need comfort, I want you to know that you are not alone. You see, Jesus came to take away all your loneliness, to take away all your pain, to take away all your hurt. And not only did he come to take it away, but he left his Spirit here to help you in those moments. So the word parakletos means helper, it means comforter, it means mediator, it means advocate. Listen, he is your advocate. That's who he is. It's far more than just helper, but helper is a great word. He's going to be right there with you. He's going to be helping you through every situation. He's going to teach you things. He's going to show you things. That's what he will do. Isn't that powerful? In verse John 14, 26, we see that it says there that he will teach you all things. He will bring to your remembrance all the things that I have said to you. And I love this, because every time I read the word, it's like Jesus is speaking to me. And when I minister, even like now, I'll be preaching my notes, but God will give me things all the time. And the one that's showing me these things, the one who's revealing these things to me, is the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus has been talking to me every time I read the word. Every time that I pray, he reminds me of things. Last night I said to the guys, I said to my wife when we went home, I said, isn't it funny how the Holy Spirit gave me a story from a movie that I watched about 10 years ago? I can't even remember the movie, but I remember that scene, and that scene was perfect to describe what the word was showing us. That's how the Holy Spirit works. He reminds you. He shows you things. He teaches you things. That's what he does all the time. Can you say amen? John 15, 26 says, but when the helper comes, the Holy Spirit, the helper, remember, can be comforter, advocate. He can be all these things. Whom I shall send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. Look, he will testify of me. The Holy Spirit will always point you in the direction of Jesus, because you must understand your salvation is locked up in the Christ. So he will always point you to the cross. He will always point you to Jesus, because everything you need is found in Jesus. Your healing, your deliverance, your peace, your restoration, everything you need comes from Jesus. And so when you want to know, how do I get peace? How do I get restoration? How do I do it? The Holy Spirit will show you everything that Jesus achieved through the cross. Isn't that powerful? Amen. Amen. In John 16, 7, he says this, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So the one who sends the Holy Spirit to us is Jesus himself. He says to his disciples, listen, it's to your advantage. How can it be to my advantage, Lord? I can only imagine that's what they must have said. Well, the reality is that Jesus can only be in one place at one time when he was on the earth, in the flesh. But when Jesus sends his Spirit to dwell on the inside of us, when we leave here, we all take him with us. And everywhere you go, you take the Spirit of God, the presence of God, the Christ living on the inside of you in every place you go. See, Christianity is not that boring now, is it now? It's just we don't take a hold of it. We don't tap into it. And part of it, when it comes to the New Testament church, is that they've neglected to understand that the Holy Spirit is right here, right now. And we just have a tendency to totally look him over. Don't get me wrong. He's never jealous of you praying to the Father. That's what you should do. He's never jealous of you praying to Jesus. He just wants you to understand, hey, I'm here. I'm your helper. I'm your comforter. Maybe you should be more aware of me. Because when you are, that's when you'll begin to see more clearly. That's when you'll begin to hear more clearly. That's when you begin to understand more clearly. Remember what I said in the beginning. We always look as though God is only going to be hearing us from heaven. And so sometimes when you do something wrong, you're like, well, maybe God didn't see it, so maybe he's busy, you know? It's never going to be that way. The Holy Spirit is with you always. And if you were aware of him always, think about how we would live. Think about the choices that we would make. You see, not only will he be in you, not only will he be speaking to you, comforting you, all that stuff, but when you get to the place where you begin to really be aware of him, what will begin to happen is that things will begin to switch. And it will go more from where you are trying to tell him what he's allowed to do and not allowed to do, to the point where you will begin to be led by the Spirit. And being led by the Spirit is one of the most powerful things that you can do as a Christian. Because the reality is that many are the plans of a man, but God's the one who directs your steps. Don't resist those steps, because you see, there are different types of wills of God. There's the perfect will, there's the permissive will, and there's different types of the wills of God in your life. And you have to choose what you want, but it all comes back. And the Holy Spirit desperately wants to keep you on the right track. Desperately wants to keep you where you don't hurt yourself, where you don't end up making it difficult for yourself. Are you with me? That's his desire. You know, he wants to keep you moving in the right direction. God's plan for your life is laid out. Take a hold of it. But a lot of that comes from getting into a relationship with the Holy Spirit. So I remember coming back from Bogota, coming back from Colombia, and I'd now realized that there was something more to my walk with God that I didn't understand. Now, I understand something. I'm already ministering. I'm preaching. I have a great relationship with God. I know him. I love him. I serve him. I know the Holy Spirit. I know his power. I've spoken to him many times, but I never really realized that he was here. So one morning, I went into my room and I closed the door and I began to pray like I normally do. Pray to the Father. Pray in the name of Jesus. And suddenly I just said, Holy Spirit, I want to make sure that you're comfortable here. I want to make sure that the music that I'm playing, that it's what you enjoy. And there's a part of the story that I just can't share with you because it's very intimate to me. And I said to him, you know, I just want my whole life, I want everything that I am to be for you. And suddenly the presence of God filled my room. I was still in Jensen Beach. I'll never forget it. I've encountered God many times, guys, but it was just an absolute life-changing moment for me in my walk with God. And everything that I, before this, I would try so hard to do things. But from that moment, everything, all the way up till this moment, has just happened by his hand. It's like I'm always trying my best to be conscious of him. Always trying my best not to grieve him. And I don't get it right all the time, because I promise you there are many times where I'm like, Holy Spirit, you just better watch, not just like close your eyes. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, you know, that's how you feel. You know what I mean? Because you're in your flesh. But when you're aware of him that way, it's amazing how he begins to just, how things begin to shift. And he leads you. He leads you into truth. He opens your eyes so you can see. You know, I mean, I've seen Jesus, but I see him now even more clearly. It's like everything is now so real. It's like it's not knowing about him or hearing about him. It's knowing him personally. And I mean, I can tell you there are moments in prayer, we had a prayer meeting on Saturday morning and we were busy praying and stuff and it was beautiful and we were going on and suddenly there was just this moment where in this moment, it's like something happened and we got the Lord's attention and the atmosphere changes and everything shifts in those moments. And that's how our lives can be when we begin to respond to Him. Somebody came to me at the end of the first service and said to me, well, I don't really know how to do this. It's not that difficult. Do what you're doing, but just be aware and be conscious of Him. Make room for Him like He's really here with you. Not up in heaven. Jesus is in heaven at the right hand of the Father. You cannot theologically debate it with me. That's what the Bible says. The part of God that's on the earth is the Holy Spirit. And I've got news for you. If you're a Christian, He lives in you. That's good news, guys. I promise you. Amen. All right, let me read one more thing to you. I've skipped over a whole lot, but that's okay. The Lord knows what He's doing. The Holy Spirit is leading us. Amen. You see, in the book of James, the Bible tells us something amazing. When I read this, I'm like, I get jealous. And this is a good jealousy, don't worry. James 2 verse 23 says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. I want to be God's friend. John 15:15 says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. And you know, when I was looking at the names of the Holy Spirit, I went to the Message. And the Message Bible, which is a thought-for-thought translation, made a statement which really hit me hard. John 16:7, we know the scripture, I've read it to you already, but look at what he says. He says, so let me say it again, and this is Jesus. This truth, it's better for you that I leave. For if I do not leave, the friend won't come. But if I go, I'll send him to you. You have an opportunity to be a friend of God, to be a friend of the Holy Spirit, to get close to him, to know him intimately, to have a relationship with him that can change everything in your life. But it's a decision that you have to make. You see, Abraham had to choose, and he chose to follow God. The disciples had to choose to follow him, and he called them his friend. The part of God that's here right now is the Holy Spirit, and you and I have to choose whether we want that or not. You're the one who has to choose if you want to have that relationship. Don't forget, please, don't lose focus. He will always point you to Jesus. He will always point you. There's no problem. But he is here. You see, the enemy wants you to think that God is far away from you. Out of touch with you, not relevant anymore. He couldn't be more relevant. He's right here. He's right here with us. And you have a choice. Remember something, guys. The Bible starts in Genesis and finishes in Revelation. I want you to know that you are in that story because it's not finished yet. We're still moving towards the end. The works of the Holy Spirit are still busy happening right now on the earth. And you are part of that story. If you think everything that happened from Genesis to the end of the book of Malachi, we've read everything, are you joking? And so it is in the story all the way through to the end of Revelation. You are in that story. God saw the end from the beginning, and you are part of that story. But are we going to be those people, that generation that says, Lord, I want all of you. I recognize that you sent your son to die for me. He's my king. He's my Lord. He's my Messiah. And I thank you that not only did he go back to be with you, but he made sure that he would not leave us alone, that he would send his spirit to come and dwell in us and begin to change us and then begin to use us and then begin to lead us and guide us. And just, it's unbelievable. And I don't know about you, but I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful that we have a God that wants to know us so personally that he actually comes and makes a place in us. This is his desire for you. This is his desire for me. Just bow your heads for a moment. Father, I thank you. This morning in this place, Jesus, you are our King. You are not just our King, but you are the King of Kings. And you gave us life. We have it. We are so blessed. And I'm so thankful. Your word says that the world does not know the Holy Spirit. They can't because they don't see him. They don't know him. But we know him because we have accepted you, Lord. And that's why he's in us and us are in you. And we have you with us everywhere we go. And I want you to know, if you've come here this morning and you don't know Jesus, if you've never made him Lord of your life, you will never experience God the way that you can. An intimate relationship with him where he actually sent his Holy Spirit to live with you, to lead you, to guide you. He sent his son to die for you so that you could have eternal life. If you don't know Jesus this morning, I want to appeal to you to give your heart to him. If you don't know him, if you've never given your heart to him, and you say, Pastor Alex, that's me. My life is a mess. I need to turn to Jesus. I need to run to Jesus. I want to give my life to him. If that's you and you can feel him pulling at your heart, just quickly slip your hand up so I can pray for you. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. God bless you. Anybody else say, Pastor, that's me. I also want to be prayed for this morning. I want to give my heart to him. God bless you. God bless you in the back. God bless you over there. Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else say, Pastor, that's me. This is for me this morning. I want to know this Holy Spirit. I want to serve this Jesus. I want to give my life to him. Pray for me as well. Just raise your hand up and I'll include you. God bless you in the back, sir. Thank you. Anybody else want to be included in this prayer? Quickly slip your hand up. Don't worry. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. I see your hand. If you've come into this place and you used to serve the Lord, but you've gone astray, and you want to recommit your heart to him. You say, I'm not serving him the way that I should. I've lost my way. I don't serve him anymore, but I want to this morning. Quickly slip your hand up so I can include you in this prayer. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you in the back. God bless you, sir. Thank you. One more appeal. Anybody else say, Pastor, that's me. I also want to be included this morning. Raise your hand up real quick and I'll include you. God bless you, ma'am. Thank you. God bless you. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask everybody to stand. I'm not going to call you to the front, so everybody stand for me, please. Many hands went up. Sometimes I call them to the front, sometimes I don't. But right there where you are, you see, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and he's very personal. And he saw your hand go up. And we're going to pray a prayer together. And if you raised your hand this morning, please pray this with your whole heart this morning. And know that the Bible is clear. If we do what we're supposed to do, he will save us and he will change us. And it's really that simple. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and he was raised from the dead, then you will be saved. All you have to do is pray that. So let's bow our heads. Everybody pray with me. But those of you that raised your hands up, please pray this with me this morning from your heart and you will be saved.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.